الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, once again we have gathered in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to the talks of deen and of Islam and of Quran and of Hadith. Our intention should be mainly to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, secondly to practice, and thirdly to pass on whatever we've heard, firstly to our families at home, and like that everyone else. Say inshallah, brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that very avowedly Allah Ta'ala mentions very clearly that the purpose of us being created, humans and the jinnah, Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَعْبُدُونَ, to worship me, that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one side we have the purpose of us being created, avowedly spelt out to us very clearly in the Quran Sharif, that we've been created to worship and make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many mufassirin, commentators have mentioned, لِيَعْرِفُونَ, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we've been created. And on the other side we find, we have many things that we have to do in life as Muslims, as humans in this world. We have to earn a livelihood. We have to make nikah, get married. Like that we have our professions. Like that there's numerous, countless, numerous activities that we have to carry out in our lives as being humans, as being Muslims in this world. So one side we have the injunction and the purpose of creation being to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one side we have so many other responsibilities, duties, activities to carry out in our lives. The question is, how do we marry these two? How do we merge these two? That where we do what we have to do in this world, our activities, our responsibilities we fulfill, and many other things that we have to do. Carry out our businesses, practicing our professions. We have to marry, we have to do so many other things in this world. And together with that, make it such that all these activities become an ibadat and a form of worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very simple answer. That whatever we have to do in this world, first condition, see and check that activity is in accordance to how a Muslim is supposed to live his life or her life. Whatever activity it be. As long as it's not in contravention, it's not in contrast, it's not against the principles, the teachings of Quran and Hadith, of how a Muslim is supposed to live in this world, we carry out that action. And secondly, our intention has to be correct. What are we doing that for? A person is doing his business, He is practicing, he is going about his practice, his profession. Like that, many other things he has to do. The intention has to be correct. That's a topic on its own. In this limited time, we cannot even cover that too. And the third, most important, that it must be done the correct way. Not haphazardly. As we wish, what we wish, when we wish, whichever way we want to do it, we do it. That is not how a Muslim should live his life in this world. Keep in mind that verse I recited, I spoke about at the beginning. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Our purpose of being created in this world is to worship, to obey, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to do what we have to do in this world. So do it as long as it is permissible and allowed for us to do. Secondly, with the right intention. And thirdly, it must be in conformity to what we've been told to follow. Like for example, a person is doing his business. Only deal in halal, permissible items. The transaction should be the correct way. Without getting involved, interest, usury, gambling, deceit, breaking of promises, speaking lies, cheating. Like that, many other things that fall under there. In the same token, a person getting married. The correct intention, the correct way, the correct person with the right intention, and even the method of nikah. Today we know what is happening. We want to compete with the other person. We want to show off ostentation, and we know where it goes to. Where millions of rands are wasted just to make a name in the community. That it must have a certain status. It must conform to a certain status. We must feed so many people. We must pay so much of mahar. We must do so many things like that. And that is why we find today zina has become so common. Adultery and fornication. Because we've made nikah something so difficult today. Before you can even think of marriage, the person has such a long list. All these things have to be fulfilled, then I can make nikah. Which is not the correct way. Nikah is supposed to be something simple. And the most barakah, the most blessings, divine mercy and rahmat from Allah, that will be given, will be afforded, will be given to the spouses after marriage, will be that nikah and that marriage where there's least expenses and difficulties incurred. So that's a topic on its own also. The gist of what I was saying up to now, that every action should have these three things in it. One is it must be the correct action. Secondly, the intention is to be correct. And thirdly, done the correct way. The verse I recited at the beginning, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَا That, oh, you have iman, you are believers, you are Muslim, eat only, devour, eat, be nourished by only that which is wholesome and halal of what Allah Ta'ala has given. وَشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ Once you have that, be thankful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You really want to be His true servant and make proper ibadat, be thankful. Eat halal and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala even instructs us when it comes to Jumu'ah. There's a surah in the Quran Sharif called Suratul Jumu'ah. In that surah, the second ruku, Allah ta'ala even encourages us, disperse, go out into the earth and land and acquire from Allah Ta'ala's benevolence and Allah Ta'ala's virtue, Allah Ta'ala, what He's given us, go and earn a halal livelihood. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ Allah Ta'ala says in this verse. That is why the Mufassireen, the commentators of the Quran have mentioned that if a person has to close his practice, close his business, the correct way, as it's supposed to be done for Jum'ah Salah, Jum'ah Namaz. By the first Azan, in fact rather before, but latest by the first Azan, all transactions supposed to stop. If a person does so, goes to the masjid early, after Jum'ah goes back and he continues with his business and his profession, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him 70 times more barakah and blessings from his side. Barakat comes from Allah. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yudraku ma inda Allah illa bi ta'ati. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that you want what Allah has. You want that barakat. You want this blessings, divine mercy from Allah. You want that happiness, contentment, all the good that you want from Allah Ta'ala's treasures. The only way to acquire it is by Allah Ta'ala's obedience. The way to acquire it is by Allah Ta'ala's obedience. So the person gets 70 times more barakah and blessings from Allah when a person fulfills the commandment of Jum'ah, goes back to his business and profession and continues. The barakat is 70 times more. So we've been encouraged, we've been instructed by Allah, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to go out and make that effort of acquiring that halal livelihood with the correct intention, the correct ways. But remember, it has to be halal. Lengthy hadith I will discuss. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says Allah Ta'ala is pure and pure. He only accepts that which is pure and pure and clean. He only accepts that. Today we want to give our haram money for charity. How many times we have these queries? Mufti sahab, Maulana sahab, Imam sahab, Sheikh. I'm doing this certain transaction and I know the income will be haram. I'm gambling. Gambling has become so rife today in the Muslim community. So different forms of gambling. One is the actual gambling itself. And one is the other ways of gambling. There's a lengthy discussion in regards to that academically and many other ways. So a person says, I know that income is incorrect, but I want to build a masjid with that money. Astaghfirullah. I want to donate it here, there and the other. Allah Ta'ala will only accept. لا يقبل إلا طيبا. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah will only accept that which is pure of your wealth. Today we want to find loopholes everywhere. Whether you hold your ear from the front on this side or around and you hold from the other side, it's still the same thing. So many loopholes we want to find. And legalize, legitimize, legalize, make things permissible and halal. When we know that we cannot change the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where it's allowed is a different matter. Where Allah Ta'ala Himself has allowed us, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned it, it's a different matter. Otherwise, not everywhere. Like how it's becoming so common today. So Allah only accepts that which is pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِالْمُرْسَلِينَ. Lengthy discussion in that hadith, that we find that the same injunction and instruction from Allah. Normally when you give an instruction to the people of a higher rank, you give a different instruction. And you give a person of a lower rank, whether it be in your profession, your business, whatever circumstances it be, you give him a different instruction. What instruction Allah Ta'ala has given to the prophets and the anbiya, the nabis, the same instruction has been given to us as laymen. يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات. Same, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقنا. That, O prophets, eat only that which is halal and wholesome. O layman, Muslim, mu'mineen, eat only which is halal of what we've given you. And Allah Ta'ala goes one further. يا أيها الناس كلوا مما في الأرض حلالا طيبا. That, O mankind, Muslim and Muslim, eat that which is lawful and wholesome for you. Same instructions to everyone. That shows the importance of it. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ أَشْعَثْ أَغْبَرُ يمد يدي إلى السماء يقول يا ربي يا ربي. Then Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم speaks about a person. He gives a depiction, a description of some person who's traveling lengthy journey. He is disheveled, dirty. يَمُدُّ يَدِي إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He stretches his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the skies. The person is traveling, he's tired, he's dirty, disheveled, he's in a very pitiful state, lost his conveyance, no way to travel, totally devastated, no means of traveling, no food, no nothing he's got. At that state, he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, O Allah, help me, help me. Then Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم continues, وَمَطْعَمُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That this person, despite his state that he's in, devastated, pitiful state, but when his food, he's been nourished by, is haram, unlawful. What he's drank is haram. What he's been nourished with, what he's wearing, all these things are all haram and not allowed for him to eat. What he ate, what he's not supposed to eat. He drank what he's not supposed to drink. He's wearing what he's not supposed to wear for unlawful means. He's been nourished with so much of wrong and haram and unlawful items. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that how can Allah Ta'ala accept his dua? Today we wonder that we're making so much of dua and prayers and supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is not being accepted. One of the major causes of our dua is not being accepted is that we are not concerned much. Maybe to some extent, but it's supposed to be of a much greater extent in our life because of the importance of this in our life. Such an important intrinsic matter in our life that we have to be concerned of haram and halal. In terms of our income, in terms of what we are eating and drinking, in terms of what we are wearing, in terms of what we are feeding and nourishing our children with. It is our duty, yes, to feed our families. How many times we find people will say, I have to put food on the table. It's our duty to feed the family. But it doesn't mean that we have to use any means, and whatever means it be, to do that. يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٍ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذْ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has predicted this time, which has already come many, many, many centuries ago, and even will get worse. Time will come when man will not be concerned of what his income, source of income is, whether halal or haram. So the major cause, one of the major causes of our du'as not being accepted, of our prayers not being accepted, is this aspect of we not being concerned of our source of income, what we are eating, drinking, and our sources of income. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anh, he comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. O Prophet of Allah, he has a request. I got a request to you, O Prophet of Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you make dua to Allah, that Allah must make me mustajab da'wat. I must become a person that whatever dua I make must be accepted. We all want that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, O Sa'ad, be concerned about one thing in your life, and that is what you are nourished by, what you are eating, what's your source of income. If you do so, your prayers, your supplications, your du'as will be readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues and says, he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي. I take that qasam by the one who my soul is in his hand. That means I take an oath by Allah, that if a person is nourished with one luqma, one morsel of haram, for 40 days, none of his acts of worship and ibadah will be accepted. He may be absolved of it. You read your namaz and you're absolved of the responsibility, but there's no acceptance and reward in the eyes of Allah. One morsel, one luqma of haram, and for 40 days. Who is saying this? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It shows us the what an intrinsic matter, how important it is to be concerned about these things. Whether it be in terms of our medication, many queries come with regards to that. Whether it comes to our food, whether it comes to so many other things that we are eating today. The trend has become very common today of eating at different places and tasting different foods in different places. We have to be concerned seriously, in a serious way, about the what those items are, what's used, ingredients, and so many other things that go with it. If I have to go into that discussion, I won't end today. Even right till midnight, I won't end regarding this discussion. But how important it is. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it's a lengthy incident mentioned in Bukhari, page 542. It is mentioned, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi brings this in the print that we have, page 542, he mentions the incident of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, first Khalifa of Islam, guaranteed Jannat in his world. He had a slave, I'm talking now more than 1400 years ago, he had a slave that became his slave after working few places, and then he adopted that slave, he bought that slave to make him work for him as a slave. So he used to send the slave out to get food for him, work, get food for him, bring it to him, and that is what he used to eat on a daily basis. Once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very sick, he hadn't eaten for some time. He told the slave to bring some food. The slave gave it to him. This is what he ate very quickly. So the slave, after he ate, he just ate a few morsels. He says, "Oh master, oh Abu Bakr, today you didn't ask me where I acquired this from." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, being a human, he said, "I was overwhelmed with hunger. I'm not feeling well. Today it slipped my mind to ask you the source of where you earned this from, where you got this from." So the slave then says that I was a fortune teller. You get many today in different forms. You get palm readers, fortune tellers, all this is haram. This is not permissible and not legal, not allowed in Islam. One is to practice it, one is for us to go for these things. So he says, I was a kahin, fortune teller, before Islam, before becoming your slave and before becoming a Muslim. And I was paid today from some practices I did in the past. I bought the food and gave it, I fed you with that. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realized the mistake he made. Immediately, he used different means and he made sure that whatever he could, to the best of his ability, take it out of his system by vomiting it out and taking it out of his system to the best he could. And he made tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Showing us the importance, how when we come to know, even if we made that mistake, we come to know, immediately it must be removed from our system for being nourished with it. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how concerned they were with this. The veracity, the fidelity, the rectitude, the piety, the Allah Ta'ala's consciousness in their mind, that it must not go into the system, they must not be nourished by that. I concluded one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he mentioned, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل أربعة. Famous hadith, we've heard many times before, that a man will not be allowed to move on the day of Qiyamah until he's questioned about four matters. First, an umri fi ma afna, how you spent your life. Second, an shababi fi ma abla, youth, age, adolescence. Specifically in your entire life, what is your entire life, but specifically about the time when you were young, how you spent that time. Third, an malihi min ayn iktasaba wa fi ma anfaqa, where you earn and where you spend it. Pertaining to the topic we're speaking about, where you earned and where you spend it. Today, what concern are we showing? Ask ourselves, each one of us, about our source of income. Today, how much of deceit, how much of lies, how much of dishonesty, breaking of oaths, and so much is being done today, just for us to acquire a few rands, a few cents and a few rands. But we don't know what damage that is doing to us inside, spiritually,
ourselves, our wives, our children, and let that many other things are being affected. So where you earn and where you spend, even where you spend will be questioned. And fourthly, an ilmi mada amilan, that your knowledge, how much you practiced upon your knowledge. So today we can change names. When it comes to our businesses, sequestration, administration orders, liquidation. Today we got this CC, then that CC, and that name, and that trust, PTY Limited. So many things we can do. Why the person won't attach here? I close that, open somewhere else. I'm owing so many people in the first one, but I got away there legally. We can do what we want. On the day of Qiyamah, we'll be questioned. In that grave on the day of Qiyamah, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us that those people that you robbed, those people that you embezzled their rights, you took away, snatched away, you did not pay in the world, you thought you got away, but one day you still have to pay. You thought you got away, but one day you still have to pay. That payment has to be done. Rather pay it here than paying it there. Day when you pay, you'll be much more greater. I mentioned the hadith of Muflis, a bankrupt person on the day of Qiyamah. What will happen to you? We don't even have a'mal and actions to present to Allah. But when we go there, all our good deeds will be taken and given to those people who we wronged and we did wrong to in this world. We'll be bankrupt in Akhirah. Instead of going to Jannah, we know where we'll be going. I do not say this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives us the true understanding of what is deen, what's the purpose of being created, about the importance of halal and haram in our lives, of the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Wa khada wa alhamdulillah.